Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are the one that you seek, and you are our all in all. Lord, we just ask that you would listen now to our silent confessions. Most merciful God, we stand before you this morning, completely weighed down with our sin. We are embarrassed and ashamed of the way we think, speak, and act. Our lives are a horrible witness of who we are in Christ. We need your forgiveness today. We know that in you we are made new. Forgive us all the wrongdoing in our lives, and give us the strength to live our lives for you in this fallen and sinful world.
God hears our sincere confession and forgives all of our sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I assure you that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give us an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God that co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia in verse.
Gospel comes from Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join in professing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life.
You may be seated, and at this time, if the children would come forward. Yeah, sometimes I wish we had a microphone up here that you could hear everyone else. Maybe sometimes not, but no, I'm just kidding. How's everybody doing today? You having a good day? All right, it almost feels like summer outside, doesn't it? Yeah. Close?
Because yesterday I went to Emma's and I went swimming.
Really? I bet you got a little cool, huh? Yeah. All right. Have any of you ever been somewhere in a big crowd or at a parade or someplace like that and you wanted to be able to see what everybody else was looking at, but you were too short?
Well, yeah? One time at the zoo, there was this tiger in this pen and everyone was so crowded.
You couldn't see him. Did you get to see him?
Mm-hmm.
How did you see him?
Some of them, when they started to move, I started to figure my way in.
Okay, you just figured your way in and waited for people to move. All right, that's one way to do it. What's another way? If you're really short, you could see something that you're wanting to see.
You can stand on a chair.
You can stand on a chair. All right, Graham? You don't know? Okay. You could crawl through their legs, okay, and get to the front. What, Gretchen? You could climb up a tree, if there's a tree there, right?
You could climb up a
building or a fence or... You can climb the people. All right. How many of you have ever climbed up on your mom or dad's shoulders? Have you ever? You could climb a ladder if you had one of those in your back pocket, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't put that in your pocket? Oh, okay. All right. So there would be several ways you could do it, but probably the most handy way, especially today, is if you got on your parents' shoulders, right? And probably a lot of us have done that, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a guy, and I don't know what your lesson was about today for sure, but did you talk about a man named Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
All right, now we're told he was short. All right? So that automatically is kind of putting him in a different place, because if he's short, he's not what?
Tall.
So most people like to be what? Fairly tall, right? Okay, so Zacchaeus evidently was shorter than everyone else. Maybe got made fun of for being short, which is not right. So what does he do?
He climbs
a tree. There just happened to be a tree there. Now, why did he climb the tree? What was? Okay. All right, so Jesus was coming by, and he wanted to see Jesus because he had heard about him. Now, what you have to understand... He did say that. That's right. But when you have to understand that Zacchaeus was not a very well-liked guy. Okay? During that time, he was what they called a tax collector. And what happened was there was a certain amount of taxes that people had to pay. But the way Zacchaeus made his money was he charged them whatever he wanted to. So he had to give the Roman government the set amount of taxes, but whatever he got over that was his. So if you were really good friends with him, he might not have charged you as much. If he disliked you, he probably charged you a lot. It wasn't a fair system at all. But that's the way he got his money, and that's why people didn't like him very much. And so Jesus is passing by, and Zacchaeus wants to see him, so he climbs this tree. And when Jesus comes there, a sycamore fig tree, we're told, yeah. All right, and what does Jesus say when he gets there? Someone already said it.
Zacchaeus, you come down.
Yeah, he says, Zacchaeus, you come down. Now, this is kind of strange. Has Jesus ever met him before?
No.
How did he know his name?
Because Jesus knows everybody.
Okay, Jesus knows everybody's name. This was brought out in our adult Bible class today, that's, he knows my name. He knows each of your names. Which I don't even know if I could say each of your names right now if I had to.
He knows the earth's name.
Yeah, so he knows everybody's name, and he knew Zacchaeus. Even as rotten as what a lot of people thought Zacchaeus was, even as bad as the people thought he was, God still knew his name. And Jesus wants to go to his house, right? And then the people start talking about him and say, look, Jesus, he went and ate with that sinner, that tax collector. But what happens? What does Zacchaeus do? He becomes a better person. Why?
Because he's following Jesus.
He gives half of his money to the poor, and if he cheated
money out of somebody,
he gave four times back. That's right. And so his encounter with Jesus, seeing Jesus, completely changed who he is, right? And so what we're going to talk about this morning is about who we are. And a lot of times we base who we are on what we have, how good we can throw the baseball, how fast we can run, how good we look, if we're skinny, if we're tall, if we're the right size. But what is the most important? Who we are in who? In Christ, in Jesus, okay? And that's what changed the kid's life. That's what changes our life. And that's who we want to, that's who we want to say when someone says, who are you? What do you think we need to say? I am a child of God. Okay? And that makes, changes everything. That makes everybody the same. Okay? We may be different in a lot of ways, but in Christ, we're the same. Y'all want to sing a song this morning? All right. I don't know. I don't know if I do know it. Yeah, I do know it. But you know Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a short little man, wee little man, right? We talked about that. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as that Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving me just the way I am. Help me to love others the same way. Help me to share your love with my family and friends. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hold on, hold on. Yeah, here, hold on just a second.
My hope is found.
Good morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks that we're here in your house today, and Lord, that we're thankful for the life and forgiveness that you give us each day. Lord, we ask now that as we turn to your word, that you would open our hearts. Lord, that your word would have an impact on our hearts, that it would travel from our head to our heart, and Lord, that we're able to express that then as we live out our lives in this world. Lord, we ask that you would rid our minds now of just a few distractions that we might have so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been going through the Believe series, I hope that as we may be learning a few new things along the way, that it's really just kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's reinforcing our understanding of our Christian doctrine, our Christian belief. You know, we are fortunate that we do believe in the true God. The true God of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that God is involved in and cares about our personal everyday life. And that as He cares about that life, He brings us salvation that only comes through Jesus, His Son incarnate, that stepped into this world to live among us. And that this word that we call the Bible is the true inspired word of God. It has an intended meaning that we apply to our everyday lives as we live them in this world. As we've discussed, there's a few of these beliefs that are kind of hard to wrap our minds around, and we simply believe them because God's word says it. Today we're going to turn to identity and really our identity in Christ. And while this may seem fairly easy to understand, I think it's harder in practice to live this out. I want to just simply ask, I mean, when we hear the word identity, the word that usually falls behind that is not identity in Christ, but identity theft. Now, I don't know if any of you have fallen prey to that or not. I know that myself, I haven't had someone steal my identity because who would want that? But you know, I've had somebody use my debit card. They wanted what little money I had, which it overdrew me. But it was a couple of big purchases one time when I was in California that this happened. And maybe some of us have experienced that, where someone has gotten our credit card, debit card information. And so anyway, if we think about that, I thought, though, has anyone here ever had their identity stolen, like their driver's license number, their social security number? Has anybody ever had that happen? No. Your son did, okay? And so that's not a very good feeling. In fact, there's probably not too many people that are raising their hand, me, 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 please, you know. But we just don't want that to happen to us. What?
You thought I did it.
Oh, yes, I called Stacy. I said, hey, have you made two $1,300 purchases on our debit card? And she said, no. I said, well, somebody did. But anyway, we just don't want that to happen. But yet I'm going to say, how often do we allow someone to place a different identity on us? Or how often do we place an identity on someone else? As we think about identity, you know, our world, and we talked about this in Bible class this morning, our world bases our identity on a lot of different things. In fact, I think there's three major categories that you could put this identity in. The first is the marketplace. And what I mean by that is consumerism. By what we have. People's identity on who they are by what they have. What kind of clothes they wear. What kind of car they drive. What kind of house they drive. And I was saying this morning, yeah, I would like to be able to... I watched the house renovation shows, you know, and I'm sitting there dreaming and drooling, you know, wishing I could rip out this wall and put this kitchen in. And we're always wanting more. We're not satisfied, but we're looking at what someone else has and wishing we had that identity. It may be based at school on if you've got the most up-to-date iPhone, right, or computer, or whatever, clothes we wear. Our identity is based in the marketplace, consumerism, the things that we have. And if we fall short of that, we feel inadequate. And a lot of times, people make us feel inadequate. The second area that I think we place a lot of identity on is what we would maybe call theater or possibly the Hollywood movie industry. Who wants a little pudge in their belly, right? We want those abs that we see advertised on in the advertisements. I mean, if we're not the right height, if we're short, if we're too short, if we're a little thicker than what we think we ought to be. I mean, we're always wanting the appearance of a movie star. Whether it's the looks or whether it's the body, whatever it is, we place a huge emphasis on it. And there's a huge amount of money spent on it. Think about the fitness centers that get millions of dollars. The cosmetic industry, the plastic surgery, things that people go through to what? Look a certain way. The final area is this. Can anybody guess it? What? Ball? Paul?
Mall.
Well, we've kind of hit that. What about? Yes?
Religion?
Well, unfortunately, I wish that were the case, but not. How about sports?
No.
How big is the sporting industry?
Big.
And you see what happens is if you're not an athlete, this may just be my perception, but if you're not an athlete, you're looked at just a little bit differently. If you're not coordinated, if you don't have that athletic ability, you sometimes get overlooked. And, you know, the sporting industry, and I want to say I love sports, and I love to play sports, although the ability is declining a little bit. But I love to play them. I love to watch them. But I think we've gone way overboard. I mean, you can't even hardly pick a Sunday or a Wednesday to set aside for church activities anymore. That used to be just a given thing that those times were reserved, but not today. I mean, you can't even find a time where your youth can get together. And it's, I mean, we think sometimes this is on the professional level, but it's trickling all the way down. I know when I was in Missouri, it was all the way down to the peewee soccer and football. Had soccer games on Sunday morning during church hour. I couldn't even conduct my confirmation class that I taught for the church I did field work at sometimes because everyone was at their game on Sunday morning during Sunday school. The sporting industry is taking over. And here we're going to celebrate it next Sunday with a Super Bowl party, right? By the way, I might throw this announcement in. If anybody wants to get here about 7:30 in the morning, we'll be having a pre-worship tailgating before service. But if you think about it, isn't that true? How our whole identity is based on what? All these externals. I mean, we don't even care to look at someone's heart, how big a heart they have or how compassionate they have. And I'm going to even say, even if we did that, who could live up to it? I know I couldn't. I mean, there are times I would like to think I'm pretty compassionate, but then I think of some of the thoughts that run through my mind when people come in and want something. It's not very nice. So we have to train our minds to think differently about our identity. Our identity is where? In Christ. I want us to look at our key belief for today. If we can put that up on the screen. It says, I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Say that with me. I am significant because of my position as a child of God. If we turn to the Romans passage that we read just a moment ago, it said, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Do you know what happens when you're baptized into the faith? Do you know what happens when you hear the word and believe that Jesus Christ died for you? What happens? What does he make you? A child of God. You are a son of God. And this passage here says, not only are you a son, but then that makes you a what? An heir. What does an heir get? Usually what someone has to give them, right, that's left. What does God have to give you? As an heir. Forgiveness and eternal life. And so we do not define ourselves. We do not say, who am I, based on all these externals, but we are defined, who am I? My identity is where? In Christ. The Bible passage, the memory verse, the key verse for today, if we can get that up. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Most of the time we don't like to talk about rights in this world because everybody thinks they have a right to everything. But here is one safe place we can use this word. I want you to read it with me. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are a child of God. We have that right, and our identity is in Christ, not in what the world says. I want you to stop and think about this for a moment, and I want you to maybe kind of picture this. And if you're one of those people that have to close your eyes to do this, close your eyes and visualize this for a moment. I want you to picture Jesus on the cross. And I want you to see that crown of thorns that is placed on his head, that has pierced his skin and the blood dripping off of his head. I want you to visualize and see the whole weight of his body hanging on those two nails that were driven through his hands. And I want, if you can, to maybe even audibly hear him gasping for his last breath as the weight of that body is just putting all of that pressure on his lungs. And as you see that, I want you to think about those times that you felt worthless. I want you to think about those times when you felt inadequate, when you've felt like you've been left out, when you've felt like you've heard people talking about you, laughing about you. Maybe it's your looks, maybe it's your weight, maybe it's your height. I want you to think about those times when when you've maybe been hard on yourself, I want you to think about maybe even when you've been made fun of because of the clothes that you were wearing, or you're not up to date and with your electronics. And I want you to look and visually see Jesus on the cross. Because when we see Him hanging on the cross, we see His love for you. You personally. How does that make you feel? It ought to make us feel incredible that we would have a God who loved us so much, did not place who we are based on what a world or a sea of people are saying, but simply on His love for us because of His Son. I want you to think about this for a moment. When we judge people's identity and who we are even based on what we have and the externals of the world, where does that put us? That puts everybody really on a totally different level, right? Nobody really on the same level at all. But when we look at the cross and we see what Jesus did for us and we place our identity in Him, where does that put us? Everybody's on the same level. There is no one better than anyone else. There is no one richer than anyone else. There's no one that has more stuff than anyone else. Because we all have the forgiveness in life that Jesus promises us. It is very important for us to hear that and to know it. And yes, mentally know it, in our heart know it, and feel it. And not only for us to know it, but for us to begin to see people in that same way. I'll be honest, there are sometimes I can be the most judgmental person when I see someone walking down the street, riding a bike down the highway, or whatever. But for me, that's got to stop. I've got to see people as Jesus does. And could you imagine? Could you imagine what even a church body could be like if we began to really put this identity in Christ into practice? Next week, we're going to talk about the church. And I think that's why it's so important that we come into next week knowing who we are, that we are God's children, we are in Christ, and that everyone else is as well. Because the church can be a powerful tool in the world. We may not be able to change the entire world, and I said this in my Bible class, that Scripture is pretty clear, we're not going to change the entire world. But we can certainly have an influence on the people around us and in our community. And I pray that, myself included, that we understand and know who we are in Christ and that we're able to convey that to the people around us. I would like for us to say one more time our key belief for this morning. If we can change to that screen. I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Now I want you to say it like you really mean it. I am significant because of my position as a child of God. Amen. We continue with our offering. prayers. Lord, we give you thanks for the new life that we have in you. And we're so thankful that our identity doesn't depend on what we have, what we do, or who we are, but it's simply on who you are in us. Lord, we ask that you would change our hearts and our attitudes towards others, that you would help us to see others as you see them, including ourselves at times. Lord, we lift up those who are sick and struggling today. Lord, we lift up Gary Tyson, Jackie Blackburn, Wanda Hubbard, Betty Odom, Andrew Kaufman, all of those who are struggling with the effects of cancer, whether it's through treatments or the cancer itself. Lord, we pray that you would remind them of their identity in you. And Lord, that regardless of what happens in this world, they are your children, and they will live with you forever. Lord, we ask that you would also continue to be with Charles Johns. We thank you that he is able to be here with us this morning. We thank you for his successful gallbladder surgery, and Lord, we just continue to pray for his recovery. For Alan Watson as well, for his successful heart procedure and his recovery. Lord, for Velma Wilkinson, Sierra Newton's grandmother, one of our preschool teachers, who went into full septic shock. Lord, we're praying that the medicine will help get rid of the infection and that her organs will begin to function properly again. Lord, we lift up Jimmy Swartz and Jean Swartz, Chrissy Kinsing's grandparents, who are both dealing with blood pressure and heart issues. Lord, we pray for Cade McCandless, who will be undergoing a scope procedure tomorrow. We pray that you give him just a sense of peace, knowing that everything will be all right. Lord, we lift all of these people up to you. We ask for healing according to your will, and Lord, that they can draw their strength from you each day. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also lift up the Watson family who lost their home this week to fire. Lord, it goes to show you that what we have on this earth can be gone in an instant. But Lord, that we still have you. Lord, we pray that they will draw their strength from you as they try to put their lives back together. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up the family of Tot Roebuck, Mildred Botlinger's sister who passed away. Be with this family, surround them with your love, reassure them of the forgiveness and life that we have in your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up our church body, all of the ministries that we have going on here. We thank you for the faithful members who pitch in and do whatever they need to do. We thank you for the hearts of our people, the attendance that we've had here at the first of the year. Lord, we ask that this would be a pattern for us, and Lord, that we have a passion to be with each other. We have a passion to build each other up and to, Lord, see each other as your children. And Lord, that the ministries that we have are an extension of our church, that, Lord, we're here to encourage each other. We're here to get strength from each other so that we can be a witness out in the world. Lord, in your mercy. We pray all of these prayers and any other petitions that we have in our hearts in the words you have taught us to pray.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.